So as you can tell, today's a little bit different. We've got a bunch of chairs up here. I am not preaching this morning. We are going to have a panel discussion with the board of directors about the vision and mission of Central Avenue Church, who we are, where are we going, those kinds of things. And so will the board now please come forward and take your seats. A lot of you might not be aware who these people are, and so this is also important for you to know that this isn't the Aaron Show. I don't rule Central like an autocrat. I am essentially managed by a board of directors. I sit on the board, and this is essentially them. Louise is also on it. He's filming at the moment, but I assume he's coming over. Who are we missing? Karis is over there. But yeah, so it's everybody plus Karis plus Louise and myself, and that's, is that everybody? And Bob. Bob is coming down. He's just working on the sound. Cool. So, Max, could we get the microphones? Yeah. Yeah, no problem. No problem. So, again, the reason why we're doing this, everybody, and to be clear, this is church. This is church this morning. This is not a business meeting. This is church. This is an opportunity for us to talk about, again, sort of the deeper spiritual side. It's always about deep spirituality here, but you know, it's about why we do what we do. Where are we going? You know, this is a very unique community. For those of you who have been here for a little while, for those of you who have been here once, you probably understand how unique Central is in the way that we go about practicing our Christianity, deconstructing religion, questioning our closest held beliefs that we grew up with, so that we might discover a faith hidden within our faith, the religion hidden within our religion, to kind of find this infinite depth, I believe, that is there in the simplicity of life and love itself. And so because we're that kind of a church that is all about engaging the toughest questions and deconstructing our faith so as to construct a new kind of faith, a faith beyond belief, as we like to call it, that comes with a lot of, I think, confusion sometimes about what are we doing here? Are we deconstructing this so much that we're losing our purpose? No, I don't think we are. But I felt, and the board felt, that the best way to really talk about who we are, our vision, our values, our mission, was to actually have a panel discussion. And so what we want to do is I'm going to moderate this. I'm going to be out of the picture for the most part. I'm going to be, I think, sitting here. This is about you, them interacting with you. This is not me preaching this morning. But I'm going to be asking the questions, and I want to encourage you guys to raise your hand throughout. Feel free to interrupt. This is a conversation between friends. Feel free to interrupt with questions or comments of your own. Ask for clarity. Ask for, you know, maybe a better explanation from somebody. You can target somebody and be like, Desiree, I want to hear what you have to say about this. She said to me earlier, she's like, I hope nobody does that. Well, guess what? You're on the board. So that's how I think I want this to go. And so let's begin by having you guys just introduce yourselves and then kind of, you know, say your name and your title, and then just pass the mic along. There's a few mics in between. Let's start with Louise.
When you mean title, like title in...
I mean your title here at church, not at your job.
All right. I guess our title will be the same. All right. My name is Louise Hoffer, and I'm an elder here at Central Avenue.
I'm Jason Delavan. I am an elder here at Central Avenue.
Sounds like AA, doesn't it?
I'm Debbie Delavan. I'm also an elder.
Ben Willis. I'm also an elder.
Desiree Dickinson, elder.
Max Waddell, elder, but also pastor of Worship Arts. So my position kind of has a place on the elder board.
Staff, yeah.
I'm Bob, and I'm an associate pastor here at the church.
And I'm Karis, and I serve as secretary on the board.
Okay, and so I'm the lead pastor. I'm also on the board. So there you go. That's everybody who is present and doing this. Okay, so with that being said, I'm just going to jump right into the first question. And again, this is like popcorn, sort of. Anybody can take it. Anybody can do it. So not everybody has to answer every question, but let's have a robust conversation. Let me start by saying, or by asking, why Central? Why did you come? Why did you stay?
Again, my name's Ben. sorry, yeah, just hold the cord for me, thank you. Well, what drew me to Central, actually drew my wife and I to Central. When we got married, I grew up Catholic, and she was non-denominational slash Protestant, whatever label I guess you want to put on it. And so our faith was important to us, and we didn't When we got married, we would go to the Catholic Church, and while it was familiar to me, it didn't always feel like home for her or for both of us. It didn't feel like a place that we maybe both felt totally comfortable worshiping together, and worshiping together was an important thing for us, that we shared our faith, but we wanted a common place to be able to come to. And we had always passed by this place because, you know, the 134, and I think we had gotten a flyer at one point. And I think when her mom was visiting one weekend, we're like, hey, let's just go try it out and check it out. And I think when we came, Aaron gave a sermon that was, I think, one of your annual or biannual or whatever. This is the this is what the church believes, or this is what the church stands for, sort of things. And also, it was a big emphasis on being Christ's hands and feet here in the world, being, you know, embodying his kingdom. And I think Aaron and I both teared up. Not that that's necessarily a prerequisite for, like, a good church or going to it, you know. But I think we felt deeply moved. And I remember going back home and being a little bit kind of disturbed and mixed up. And Aaron had pulled me aside and was wondering what was wrong. And I think at that moment I had realized, I was like, I think this is where we're going to go. And I was trying to figure out what that meant, especially for my Catholic faith and whatnot. But as Aaron always emphasizes, living in that tension can be a good and healthy thing. So ultimately we ended up coming here and kind of going back and forth between this and Catholic Church. But it's been, I think, a really nice rounding up out of our spiritual faith, that we get maybe a little bit more of a traditional side, but also we get challenged and intellectually and really, you know, forced to get to the bottom of our beliefs to make sure that we live it out. And so that's why we're here.
And so he has a wife named Erin, just to be clear. That's okay, man. I just wanted to clarify. It's all good.
I just really wanted to go to a church that I didn't feel fake at, in that I was just really frustrated with, like, going to church regularly and then just feeling, like, hatred for other people, like hatred for people in the LGBTQ community or hatred for people who had different political beliefs and things like that. And so, like, that was what I was feeling from other people. And I just wanted a place that I didn't feel that. So I live in Glendale. I moved to Glendale, and then I looked it up on Yelp, and this was where I started. I stayed because I found what I was looking for.
Is that the question? Why are we here, and why did we stay here and not run?
So the question is, exactly, why didn't you run away when you had the chance before you got elected? Why Central? Why did you come? Why did you stay?
We found Central on Yelp, my wife and I, and the reason we were looking was because we had been going to churches that I had been going to for a while, and whenever we would go, maybe every time, something would be said or something would be part of the worship songs or something that I was learning more and more every day were actually kind of offensive sounding and not very brotherly lovely. Is that a... Never mind. Loving, thank you. Because Deb didn't grow up in the church and I grew up Pentecostal, we had kind of a mismatch where I wouldn't hear the things that she was hearing and she would point them out to me, and eventually got to the point where we couldn't really keep going to those churches because it was just every time we went, she was getting offended and I was starting to get offended by it once I started listening to the language and stuff. And so we looked around, and one of the prerequisites in our search for a church for me was, I want to find a church that doesn't have a creed posted on the website where it was like, you have to believe these 10 things in order to be a part of our church. And it was just, for me, like, that was kind of a deal breaker. And then we came here, and there were probably this many people at the time, and maybe less. And we came out of it feeling good and feeling like this is a place that we might try coming back to again. And that was a couple of years ago. And now I'm standing in front of everybody. So why did we stay? That's the other half of the question, right? I think, sorry, it takes a sec. My head works a little slow. I'm going to use that not having a creed on your website thing as a metaphor for why we stayed. I think there's no, I don't know of any other church like this that can exist and have people in it that are really a good community without beating a drum. Every other church I've ever been to, there's this drumbeat of, you know, reiterating the same songs every week. These are the things that we believe, you know, and all these are the phrases that we all use that I'm sure a lot of you know, like washed in the blood of the Lamb, and like these sort of catchphrases that we sort of grow into in church and then don't even think about. And it's so normal once you're in that sort of tribe that you can't hear what it's saying, you know? And I think one thing that I really appreciate about here that makes me continue being here and happy to be here is there's no drum. We sometimes when we get too catchphrasey, then we change things up and we make everybody stand up front and talk about why they're here. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that you can come to a church and not feel like an outsider because you don't know the lingo, or that you have to be part of an in-crowd with a certain set of beliefs in order to love God. And so that's what keeps me here.
Expand on what you already said for me. I did not grow up in the church. And when we started looking, we went to many churches that, you know, say on their website that they want to welcome everyone wherever they are on their path. And I could feel that that was not true. There's a lot of us and them, and I always felt like them in those churches. But I really felt welcome here, and I really do feel like it's whatever you're bringing to the table, we want it here. We want to have you as part of the discussion if you want to be part of the discussion, like honestly, truly. So I think that's why we're here.
Hi, I'm Luis again. My wife and I moved to Glendale, and we saw version 1.0 of centralavenue.com, and Aaron was front and center in a sweet YouTube video, I think in like a side office. And
yes, it was in the office.
Yeah, it was in the office, and Aaron just preached, you know, an early message version of the message that he preaches quite often here, almost every Sunday. And we liked it, and we Grace and I gave it a shot one Sunday, and we were pleasantly surprised, and we thought it was great. And and the reason why we stayed, we also came from a more traditional church. It was actually in Koreatown, and it was called YNCC. And the thing that I don't want to do today is I don't want to. When we talk about our past churches, I do feel like something that I do really quickly is I will create a tribal like type of verbiage when I talk about my past experience. And I think that just ultimately kind of leads us down the same road and leads us in a big circle. But the reason why we stayed is I think this church is not perfect, but it, and even in when you, and I just came to a realization when Jason was describing his experience. I remember when I first started here, and I remember some of the songs that Max would and the praise team would sing, and they were a little bit more, I guess you could say, you know, a little bit more mainstream. And I think when this church is transparent in the struggle that it goes through, and I feel like you could see that even in the praise that Max praises in terms of him struggling with, you know, with doubt and with pain and with violence that takes place in our world. I sometimes see that. Maybe I'm just weird. But I feel like even through that, this church is transparent in the way that it struggles through finding its way in the world. And that's why I stay.
I want to open it up. Does anybody want to say why they're here? And maybe what's worked for them? Anybody out there want to share? And a lot of you filled out that survey this week, and we're going to show, and we've actually showed already, if you came in before service started, some of the responses. We're going to show those. But does anybody want to say, or maybe, you know, their story a little bit? Yeah.
So I had not been to church in probably 15 years. I had really, really bad experiences back in Texas, very hateful, kind of like what Desiree had said. And I think Emily tried for maybe like 2 years to kind of recruit me here. And I'm like, yeah, it's okay. I'm good. Yeah. Because I did feel like something was missing and I really wanted to have that spiritual place, but I was just, you know, I thought all the churches were the same. And then I remember one time we worked at an animal rescue event and she was wearing the Pride shirt, the paw print. And I was like, wait a second, if you're wearing that, then maybe we actually do have the same kind of views on things. And so I came, and that was what, about a year and a half ago or something like that. And I think it's the inclusiveness, the love versus, you know, instead of hate, that message is why I stayed. And then also how much everybody wants to do something good in the community. And I think that's kind of what I was looking for.
I got to represent the LGBT portion of your... Well, I mean, of course, I was looking for an affirming church. I grew up in an evangelical environment. So reason I came and stayed was because of the fact that you guys are an affirming church. But really the test, well, there's several tests for me, practical tests. What does that look like? But I think essentially the biggest one is you taking the time to meet with me. Because every church I've attended, when I want to meet with leadership, just to talk about their position on, you know, affirming, being affirming and accepting the LGBT community, I've gotten the craziest responses to absolutely won't even meet with me to let's meet and change you. So I think it starts really there, and not only you, but I mean, I've talked to Jason, I've talked to Max and Bob, and just having conversations along with this entire family, it just makes it a place to stay. So I think for anyone that's looking for that affirming place to be able to be, to live out their faith and also live out their life is one of the same, and I think it's important that this place offers that. So,
and so let me ask another question and start with the board. What is church for you? What is Christianity? And obviously that is like probably one of the biggest questions we can ask. It's easy to talk about your story in some ways, but let's get down to it. What is church for you? What is Christianity? Kind of very, two very similar questions, but somewhat different.
Okay, so this is a really hard question. I just want to acknowledge that before I start. So for me, Christianity is like drawing closer to God, but through people and through knowing other people, loving other people, and serving with and serving other people. And I think that that's what the role of the church is to help that happen. And that kind of idea is what also kind of what keeps me essential and things like that. But it's, to me, it's growing in my spiritual journey, but also like in community with others. That's all I'm gonna say.
I thought that was a great answer. I think I would not to be like, I totally agree, and that's good. Thank you for answering that. Just to add on to that, at least for me, because I do agree with that specifically church for me, more than any other group, because I'm on a hockey team, I'm on a soccer team, I've got other groups and tribes that I hang with. But specifically, not just the message, but also for me, I do believe in a God, and I do believe in whatever way you want to define it or see it, that I come to this to come to church to kind of be rejuvenated in a bit, and whether that's through worship or through sharing experiences with other people or just talking to other people, where it's like, yeah, I believe in God too, but I still don't know what that means, and they'll be like, yeah, I don't either, and then we can bond over that. But I feel like there's something spiritual about that, and something spiritual about being together, whether it's being sad together or being happy together or singing together and whatnot. But specifically when I come to church, that extra supernatural element of you know, that kind of like that this is what God would want me to do, or that God would want me to be with people and to maybe think on him or think on things that were that he taught or that Jesus taught about. And for me, again, just to reiterate, like it's part of a I think a rejuvenation for me. Whether it's inside the church or not, whatever, if there is some kind of gathering per week, it kind of helps to recharge me for the week. So
I'm Emily. I just first want to start out by saying that whatever I'm saying, anything I say today is not reflective of anything that Aaron may say or believe. Kind of a loose cannon. But I think I really love that about everyone here. Like, we don't have to worry about, oh, what's Jason going to say? Like, is that reflective of us as a church? Because we don't really have that, like, core, like, we all are at different places. We all believe kind of different things, and yet we're kind of unified in that kind of not having a unifying belief. And I think that that's really cool. And I think for me, as somebody who did grow up in kind of an evangelical church, I think, you know, I think that it's one, it's not shocking at this point in our, where we are, to say that, you know, we're not here saying like, oh, if you're, you know, Buddhist, you're wrong. If you're this, you're wrong. Like, you have to be a Christian. That's not what we're saying. But most of us here do find that meaning in the teachings of Jesus, and in finding kind of like our identity in the teachings of Jesus. What I think it's really important for me, I mean, to be honest, I'm kind of forced to be here. I'm kind of forced to be here. I don't go anywhere else. But I think it's really important to kind of change the church from the inside out in a lot of ways. The way that I grew up, you know, I find a lot of value in the way that I did grow up. It's not how I would choose to raise my own children at this point in my spiritual journey. And I think that it's really important for others like Sarah to see that this, you know, who we are as Christians, and the kind of the view that people have as Christians doesn't have to represent everybody. And I think that's really important to me, to be a part of the church for that reason, in addition to all the other things that have been said.
I was going to say that I'd have lost my definition of church. I don't know what it is anymore. So it's kind of a non-answer. But I used to know what church was, and I don't anymore. And I think it's now, it's church is to me kind of like the feeling that you get when you're singing Bohemian Rhapsody with your best friend in the car. Like, does that make sense? Like that kind of like, maybe it doesn't. Have you ever done that? like that sort of shared experience feeling of I don't care what we're doing, it just feels good, and we're doing it together, and I want to stay in that moment until the song is over. I think that's the closest I can get to church right now. As far as what it means to be a Christian, there's another one of those two-part questions I have to think about. Obviously, Christ is the important part of being a Christian. But even if we didn't have a name for the person that said all the things that Christ said and did, and if it was just a really good movie, I think it's still inspiring, and I think being a Christian is trying to follow that inspiration.
I saw you restless, Johnny.
One of the things that I love so much about Central is just that, you know, other churches that you go to, it seems that you show up and then it's like, we want to teach you the facts as we know them to raise you to be more like us. And I like that everybody that comes here, kind of to build off of what Emily was saying, it's really more, rather than a marching in line going somewhere, it is an exploration, and we're all kind of looking around going, yeah, I don't know. God is undefinable. Like, it's undefinable to you, it's undefinable to me, I don't know. None of us know. What is your experience? And I like that we all go, we have no idea, but let's try to learn from one another. And because, like, look, we get enough judgment from God, we don't need it inside of our church, right? We remove judgment. Right. We get, I like that we remove all judgment and just go, look, we're all sort of lost and confused. Let's be lost and confused together and try to figure out what this looks like by talking to one another. I like that exploration, curiosity, and wonder are not only accepted here, but encouraged.
I think for me, I would probably have to, used to have two much different answers for like what the church is and what Christianity is, but as the longer I do this thing, the more the same that answer becomes, in the sense that I think Christianity, and for a lot of our for a lot of us in our experiences in being raised, was a set of doctrines or beliefs that we had to assent to intellectually and you know, I guess speak into our hearts or whatever that kind of the metaphysical supernatural kind of part of that and things to assent to. And while that can still very much be a part of what Christianity is and what it means to be a church, I think the older I get, like I'm so old, sorry. I think the more I do church and be with the church, the more those answers come together. And Christianity is being the church in that, you know, we get in the Gospels and in the New Testament so much what the idea of the body of Christ. And obviously that's a very big metaphorical concept. But even with Paul saying, like, we are the body of Christ, and all of us plays a different part. Like, you can't just have a body that's all feet. Like, you can't have a body that's all eyes. You can't have a body that's all ears. You have to have so many different parts to create what a body is. And so part of what I see in this church is the body of Christ being fulfilled, and the fact that you're getting so many different answers right here. It's like, and yet at the core of it, we're all here because we see something, we experience something, we believe something is powerful about gathering together, in the name of Christ, for the sake of Christ at least. And we all call ourselves we call this church a Christian church, and we call it a church, you know, and it's not a community center, although there's nothing wrong with community center, and it's not a it's not a secular building, although, again, nothing wrong with secular building. But I think it's telling that we all are here because at our foundation we feel the power, the weight, the importance of gathering here, trying to pick up the pieces of our, you know, childhood faiths, trying to put together the struggles that we bring from maybe other churches or maybe from other Christians have left these scars on us, and we're here and we haven't rejected them. We haven't said, I don't want anything to do with Christianity. We haven't said, some of us have, but for this moment in this place, we're here because we are not actively rejecting it, if that makes sense. And so for me, I always waver back and forth of saying, like, why are we even meeting as a church? Like, should we be doing something totally different? Are we still Christians? Whatever that means. But for me, it's like the fact that we gather with this motivation and with this heart that we recognize that doing things together and being community and loving one another reflects the very heart of Christ. And we find meaning in that. Even though that meaning might be very different from person to person, there's something deep that kind of is just keeping us going. And I think that's important to name because I think it's important.
Somebody want to respond? Yes, I see that.
Okay, I really apologize for putting someone on the spot. I'm more of like a latecomer, I suppose, as the last like 2 years, but I understand. Leo, have you been? You were here before Bob, Max, and Aaron, right? Am I right about that?
Leo's been here since the 70s.
So I'm kind of. You don't have to answer this, but I'm curious. What's your experience been? Why do you keep coming after seeing this church change so much? Just tell me about you, man.
Leo, you're on the spot. You don't have to answer it, but boy, we really want an answer. Are you okay with this, brother?
I didn't quite hear what the question was.
He wants to know about your experience here. Why are you still here? What is your story?
So you started it. You were here in the 1970s, right?
Correct.
Okay, and that was back when this was still First Southern Baptist Church of Glendale. For those of you who don't know the church history, we've only been Central Avenue since 2010. And we cut our ties with the Southern Baptists. But Leo was here when I got hired in 09 to lead the church through this transition. Why are you still here?
Just come each week so I can praise the Lord. And I know he loves me, and I love him also back. That's the main reason I'm coming every week. And also, I enjoy your sermons when you teach. That that's about it. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it can really be that simple, can't it? Yeah.
Hello, my name is Jade, and if you don't know me, I've been coming here for, I'm pretty new, for about 2 months. I grew up in a strict Catholic church. I went to Catholic school. So ever since I was six, you know, church for me is what the Catholic church told me. That's what was encrypted in my mind. So church and Christianity for me is what's visible. That's what the Catholicism taught me. It's what's visible. It's the church, it's the sacraments, it's the tradition, it's the routine, it's the structure. And so when I came to the United States, and there are many other congregations, and so I wondered. So I haven't gone to church for, like, I don't know, maybe 8 years. And then I live just right there, and I keep passing by. And you came, once in your life, you come to a reality where, you know, I need that spirituality back in me. And so I came in here, and the reason why I'm still coming is that Central Church is teaching us what's invisible, what's not the routine and what's not the tradition. And so Christianity is universal. You can find Christ everywhere without following routines and structure. And that, I think that's what Christianity is about. It's universality. And I was once told that you don't even have to go to a building. You don't even have to go to church. You can pray anywhere you are. And I think what I like about this church is this is a group of people, of highly intellectual people. You get to hear, and you get to ponder, and you get to learn from one another. And I like Pastor Aaron. I think he's very intellectual. He's a highly smart intellectual pastor. Thank you.
Thanks, Jade. I'll pay the $5 later. Thank you. Yeah, good stuff. Anybody else?
Jade, I really appreciate that, and I think that's such a helpful perspective of what it means to be the church. I came through a whole slew of church traditions, too, where I have kind of pieced together a faith over time that has fit more with the way that I understand the world that we live in. And so faith and the church, to me, needs to be this place of a kind of open acceptance in so many ways. I guess I would consider myself a post-evangelical to a certain extent, you know, largely meaning that I don't believe any longer that our goal as the church should be to get other people to believe and think like we believe, that we have the answers for everyone else to come into. And so that has largely shaped what it means for me to understand Christianity in the church. And like Max said, I see them so much more closely intertwined now than I used to. And you know, for me, on our best days, the church is where people encounter God in the world. And I think our goal as a Christian community, our goal as representatives of this body here, is to have more better days than bad days. And as we continue to work harder and harder, as we continue to be shaped and transformed ourselves, I think that's where we actually see God at work. Not because we're perfect, but because we're moving forward. We're moving in a direction toward love, towards hope, towards peace, towards justice. That's what I see embodied in Christ, and that's where I feel what it means for us to be church and to be doing church, and gathering together on Sunday mornings to talk about and wrestle with these things.
Hey, Bob, can I respond to that real quick?
Yeah, please.
So you said something that was beautiful that said, on our best days, you believe the church should be where people interact with God in the world. And I feel like I just want to just tweak that a little bit. And I feel like on our best days, people find God in the world in humanity, in people. Because I feel like God in the world is everywhere. Like you see the moon cross across, you know, the horizon, and there's an amazing design there, you know. And I feel like it's people, it's humanity, because we can be so ugly, but at the same time we can be so beautiful and godlike, and that's what I feel like, you know. And I know that's probably what you meant.
I approve that correction.
All right, awesome.
So I'm gonna throw this out there. Going along with that, I think the way we respond to each other in a humanitarian way is highly important. At least I would think it would be. I think one of the things that, in my opinion, and granted, I don't speak for everybody, I don't represent everybody, it's just my opinion. I think one of the things that maybe we as a community can work on is when we get new people, I think we have greeters, we have a pastor, you know, we have people who are specifically assigned to, you know, welcome those people and make them feel included, so to speak. But I think perhaps as a community, as individuals, and I know some of us are antisocial and a little bit awkward. I myself am really weird. I admit that. But I think we can do a better job of being a little bit more inclusive with new people, because I think some people come in here and granted, not everybody's going to want to stay or even be a part of this church all the time. But I think we can do a better job of trying to extend out our social hand, or our just an attempt at making someone feel welcome in a place where nobody's equal, where everybody's equal, and but nobody's the same. Hmm. And you know, I think people come from different walks of life, and we represent that to an extent, but I think we need to open ourselves up to not just include those who we relate to or who we have something in common with. And I think that will help. And it's not about just numbers, but it's about growth. And it's about growth for us as well. So we learn more about other people and we grow through other people as well. And I just wanted to make that a point.
Awesome. Thank you, Dorian.
Well, I was just going to add, yes. And that came up in the survey a few times, and we're definitely going to talk about it. But I wanted to add to what Bob and Luis were saying. It's also that I think the role of the church is to work justice in the world. And I think that's something that we should definitely, or I wanted to mention, I forgot my first time I talked.
I think it's really easy for a lot of us to talk about what we sort of, on an intellectual level, find problematic about our church backgrounds or whatever. To kind of flip the script on an emotional level or intellectual level, this question is for Max, Emily, and or Doug. How do you, in what moments do you find, if you do find, joy in God? And what does that look like? When do you find sort of joy? Don't ask that question.
So that's the question.
That's cool. Hey, look, at open forum, people. Anything can happen. If you haven't learned that yet in this church.
When Dorian was saying what he was saying about we need to be, like, friendlier to people, I'm like, that's really important and that's really hard. And I especially feel that it's really hard right now to be nice to you, Oliver. So I'll go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just kidding. Oliver's the best. If you guys don't know Oliver, seriously, he'll meet him and talk to him, because like I don't think I've ever had a conversation that's not interesting with Oliver. I mean that in the best way possible. So your question was the moments of we find joy. Oh gosh, everywhere. And I'll use Bob's phrase, at my best. I mean, unlimited places. I think. I mean, these days, my little 8-month-old is like, and just every time, like, he smiles and stuff, it's like, that's joy right there. Like, it just, and for those of you who have kids or who've been around kids, or I mean, and totally honest, like, even like loved pets and stuff like that, you know what I mean when I say, like, there's something that you feel, and it's not just like an emotion. It's not just like happy, you know? Like if I'm hungry and I have a meal, I feel happy and satisfied. Although my wife might disagree and say, no, that's like a deep joy kind of thing too. But there's something beyond having my needs met and making me feel content and feeling just a deep well of joy. And I think I think for me, in a lot of ways, like Christian community and church community is where I find, honestly, where I find joy and I find in service to others and stuff like that. And I know it's cliche, and I know I always have a intellectual kind of crisis, esoteric sometimes, of like when I'm helping, when I'm serving, you know, a meal to someone, when I'm helping someone, handing out something on the side of the street, when I'm taking someone to get something to eat, stuff like that, I well up with this, what I would call joy. And it's always kind of interesting for me on a psychological level to try to think how much of that is self-serving. And I battle with myself saying, am I so happy because I feel good about myself? Am I so happy? Do I just feel joy because I feel like I'm a good person? And I'll just admit to you that that's something I struggle with when I have those moments of joy. But I would say in service, these points of joy, I often find music sometimes at our best, again, I'll say. It's these moments. And again, like if you don't have a pet or something like that, if you've been to a concert and it's your favorite band and they start playing your favorite song, like, and they get to the, you know, the chorus and the whole place is singing along, and like there's something, those moments that you feel, they're bigger than just that moment, and they're bigger than just you being in a place hearing these sound waves go into your ear. Like we can be very literal and intellectual and break stuff down to a scientific level, but it doesn't explain why, you know, that brings us joy. It doesn't explain, what does Ron Beller say? It doesn't explain why we find that interesting. And I think those are those moments when I find joy in being with others and meeting others, and yeah, so that's me. I've said enough of that one.
Yeah.
All right, Oliver, get ready. many of you don't know, I'm actually finding this out because I've been on medical leave from my job for quite a while now from an accident that I suffered, but. I am a nurse practitioner in pediatrics, and I work at UCLA in pediatric oncology. Can be a very, very difficult place to work. Over the 10 years that I've been there, I've seen dozens and dozens of children pass away. And I think, you know, I'm at a place, and I think honestly that was a place where Aaron and I started to really wrestle with, like, you know, who can say that, like, God causes this kind of stuff? Or who can tell a parent who's just lost their child that there was, like, a meaning for, you know, behind this? And I remember one of my mom's friends who got breast cancer a few years ago, and her response was, you know, if I hadn't had this struggle, I never would have known how many people loved me and cared about me. And one of the movies that I saw in the last couple years that still is like so profound to me, and it's not the best movie ever, but it was The Giver. And if you guys have read The Giver, spoiler alert, but it's a really old book. You know, the whole point is that they kind of have took away everyone's differences. You find out that the people see in black and white. They don't see color. They don't see, they have what's called sameness. So nobody experiences, they don't experience sexuality. They don't experience, you know, true love. They don't experience pain either. And so, you know, the flip side is that to take away all of the bad emotions and the bad things, they had to take away all the good things as well. And at the end of the movie, they kind of, you know, everything kind of gets revealed, and there's this, like, montage of, like, human memories that these people didn't have, and it makes me cry every single time I see it. And sometimes I'll just, like, watch that montage, like, when I, like, need to feel some emotion. But it, to me, it's, like, so beautiful. Like, and there's this one part where there's, like, this old man dying and his family is next to him in bed. And, you know, there's a little girl with clearly has cancer with a feeding tube. And, you know, there's just all these things. And it's, like, to me, I think that there's so much beauty in kind of sharing everything that life has for us, the good and the bad and the really ugly. And I find a lot of beauty in sharing that and in that kind of community. And I think that that's what we're trying to do here.
Well, I got one more question I want to ask. I want to make sure we get to it for the next 10 minutes, and that is, where do we go from here? You know, we've talked about who we are and kind of why we do what we do. Where do you guys see this church going? That's always a question I get, and I have my own answers, but this is not about me today. Let's hear from you, and I'd like to hear your ideas about this as well. Where are we going?
I'm also curious, how do we avoid becoming a walking creed, even if we don't put it on our website? How do we make sure we're nimble and make sure that we're always deconstructing, that we've never landed?
I wanted to talk about that, actually. I've been thinking about it all week. And I don't want to be church bashing. I feel like almost everything I'm saying is church bashing, and that's not fair. But I spent the majority of my life in institutions, let's call them, that had a really clear idea of what you should be doing, and nobody was doing those things. But we all knew what we were supposed to do and what we were supposed to believe, and it was all kind of laid out. And it was a really big adjustment for me coming here for the first year, probably, where I had feelings of, I should have somebody telling me to do more things, or there should be more opportunities for things where I can feel like I'm helping or saving the world or serving, whatever. And it's been an evolution for me here and I kind of do this with like the community groups and stuff now too, to realize that, why am I'm going to phrase it like a question, why am I asking an institution to tell me what I should be doing? And that was hard for me because church has always been like, here's what we're going to do. Here are all the things that you can do to be a better person that the church is providing you. And we do some of that here, like we have Essentia and some things like that. But it was a kind of a mind shift for me to realize that I can do things. I don't have to have an institution provide them to be able to be God's hands or feet or whatever in the world. And they don't have to be huge. They can be, you know, spending time with somebody that I don't know, or praying with somebody who's going through a rough time and sharing, listening to them and empathizing. I mean, it can be little things. We don't have to be world savers. You can help save each other. And to me, that was a really big shift for me. And now it's something that I try to promote here, where I try to get you guys to do the groups. I try to get you to suggest projects. I try to get you to get to know people who you don't know. It's not me doing it, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that's what I like about a deconstructed church, is that it's not an institution that's handing things to you. I like that we try to get everyone to try to lift each other up, if that makes sense.
Well, I was thinking that, and even what you were mentioning about like how we go forward and whatnot, I think, constantly, deconstructing and bringing in people and seeing new points of view and making sure that we always stay open to those new points of view and continue to keep open the discussion. And for me, I keep thinking back to this. I think even Aaron, you had mentioned that, anytime that Jesus's message, anytime we start to feel comfortable with like what he said or some of the things that he had laid forward, that maybe we don't understand it right, or maybe we're not getting it right. And for me, especially when it comes to like, for instance, loving your enemy, I feel like. Like, if we really understood what that meant and tried to live that out, we'd realize, just how impossibly hard that is. And it doesn't have to be someone like ISIS. It doesn't have to be this huge, evil group or whatever. It can be someone who just wronged you, that you in your daily life and whatnot, that you haven't forgiven or that you. Anyway, so for me, a lot of times, I try to go back to, especially being a Christian, going back to a lot of those teachings and allowing that to kind of help guide and continue to challenge us. And I feel like we don't necessarily have to have a specific thing that we need to look like in the future, like with the creeds and whatnot. We don't have to have a certain set of beliefs per se, but I think as long as we continue to go back and continue to challenge ourselves and I guess make sure we're not too comfortable, you know, with where we are, but you know, in a healthy way. And I find a lot of times really a lot of peace in that as well. Even though it stirs me up, I find a lot of peace in always challenging and trying to move forward and feeling like maybe I don't have that specific goal, but that maybe that we're always searching for that best day or the better day, that that in itself is probably enough for me, you know, as a place to go, and because we'll probably never, you know, fully reach that, you know. So anyway,
I would just like to add, so our core values are that we're intellectual, missional, and relational, and I think that intellectual, that we don't have any problems with that. I think we're hitting that. That's what came up in the surveys. People said we got that. There were two things, relational, which we kind of talked about, and missional, that kind of came up as like, I know we're doing some things, but I want to do more. And I think that that's something that we should continue to kind of look at and see how can we embody all three of our core values in a way that is maybe not necessarily equal, because it's, you know, at all times, but we're trying to make sure we do that. And we definitely, you know, Aaron has said that existing as a church that's open and inclusive and loving, and it lets people struggle with their faith, is itself missional, because people are here who might not ever go to a church, and I think that's definitely true. But I also see, like Max was saying about finding joy in service to others, and I see that in and it definitely can become self-serving, but I also think, you know, in Jesus's discourse on the sheep and the goats, he kind of talks about, like, when you're serving these people, the least of these, those in prison, those who are poor, those who are starving, those who are naked, and you're experiencing him, you're serving him. So I think that's part of why we can have joy in that, because that is our actual, one of the only ways we know we are interacting with God is when we're doing service. And so I think as a group, we just need to continue this kind of like dialogue and discussion. And if anyone is like, hey, I kind of want to do this project, or I'm thinking this might be relational, just bring it up. I know that that's how things happen. And at Central, we kind of, you know, all of the stuff comes from the congregation. And so I think, you know, whatever you want, just talk to us, talk to pastors, whoever, and I'm sure we can get it going.
Louise. Thank you, Desiree.
Yeah, I think just adding on to what Desiree just said, and going back to what Jason said, Jason, you know, you described, you know, you didn't want an institution to tell you, you know, what to be a catalyst in terms of moving you to do justice in the world, or to feel like they were defining what was good for you in the world. But I do feel like sometimes helping others and serving in the world is a lonely road, especially if you try to do it on your own. So having a small group, you know, especially with people that are friends and working hand in hand. I mean, when we talk about relational, when we talk about missional, part of going back to that first initial question of what is church to you, fellowship. I mean, fellowship, is one of the key things, and we do fellowship in many different ways, grabbing a beer, you know, but I do feel like when we serve together hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, and we do help others, and we do it together, it makes it a lot easier. I mean, because it's really hard to do it on your own. It's like, I pass by one person on the side of the street every single day of the week, and I don't stop, and, you know, you rationalize internally, and you make up stories of, like, well, this person's there for whatever reason, and, like, their shoes look, you know, somewhat clean, so I don't really need to help them. This is what I do. I'm going to be completely transparent. And I don't stop. And I do feel like sometimes you need someone to take you by the hand, and you need to walk with them in order to be able to get out of your comfort zone, in order to be able to stop the car and get out. And that's a proverbial way of all the injustice that takes place in the world. And I do feel like our church should have a compass. It should have a compass that kind of leads us in a way that shows us and maybe some of the things and the passions that we all believe in that are injustice in the world, maybe not everyone agrees with them, but that's the beauty of Central. You know, we can disagree and still love each other and still be tolerant. So raise your voice and You know, tell us the things that are bothering you in the world, and we can try to join together and figure out something that we can do, because it starts with one person.
Thanks. Thanks, Louise. And I wanted to finish today with just kind of opening it again to you. Is there anything you want to add, anything you want to ask, anything you want to say before we conclude? Yes.
So I've been trying to figure out how to say this, because I really love the intellectualism that comes with this church. As a therapist, I think and I act and I speak as a therapist. I wonder if we're a little too good at intellectualism, that we need a little bit more space for mystery, and not solely just saying what we should not believe or what we should believe. The best way to describe it for me is that we're really a lot of left-brainers, which means we're all about logic and all about intellectualism. But we also have a right brain, which is emotions and experience. And as a therapist, I'm not trying to only have people, you know, visit their right brain, but I'm trying to integrate left and right brain. And I'm saying there's logic to your feelings. Let's understand the logic. Let's understand reasoning, but understand your feelings and experience them. So I think for me, what I've been sitting in this church is trying to figure out how we create space for that.
Yeah.
How we create space to not just be intellectual, but to also really struggle with, like, having this space to just be.
Yes.
And I'm not sure entirely what that looks like. And I think a lot of it will mean us bringing what our gifts are. So for me, I know that I have a lot of gifts in this area because I'm kind of a mystic, and I value that. I really value having this space to find joy in God, even if it means not learning anything, just experiencing God. So I think trying to find ways in which we have talents and are kind of predispositioned, and having space for that. And there's obviously a huge space for, you know, that's the way things get started. But I think having that conversation and realizing that maybe we're a little too good at intellectualism. Not, it's a great thing, but maybe having some balance and some integration is kind of what it's been my thought process, and kind of my baby, is that I've been like trying to figure out how I should come to be in this church and what I can bring as a therapist. So there's something I wanted to add.
That's awesome. Thank you, Ashley. And that's actually a perfect segue, because I wanted to kind of conclude with telling you guys that my next series starting next week is going to be called Affirmations, where I'm going to basically be talking about the things I think I'm speaking about myself, obviously, but that we can affirm about Christianity, about God, about faith, about church. Obviously, deconstruction and intellectual honesty is really kind of part of our liturgy here, and we're never really going to get away from that, because we function, I like to use the term as an AA for recovering fundamentalists, right? Here, a lot of you come because there's no other church for you, where you can really acknowledge your addiction to religion and how you grew up in this kind of idolatrous relationship to certainty and satisfaction. And here you can kind of get sober from the way that you're relying on religion for certainty and satisfaction, a sense of superiority, a sense of knowing, a sense of, you know, tribal identity, us and them. And here that breaks down, where you find like a deeper, more meaningful religion. And I believe that's kind of a mysticism. That's really what we're trying to affirm here, is a kind of recognition that God is found in the infinite depth of love and life itself. We are actually affirming God here. We are affirming faith. We are affirming spirituality. But that can get lost in the intellectualism and in the deconstruction. And that's been a concern of mine. We've gone through a season of deconstruction, and we're not ending that season. It's not like, oh, now we're just going to start putting creeds out there. No, 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 it's not about that. But there's some things that I would like to affirm, and that I would like to encourage you to kind of think about affirming as well. And so the next 5 weeks, so it's 5 weeks now to Advent. Can you believe Christmas is that close? So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to do a series called Affirmations, where I'm going to be talking about the things that I affirm about Christianity, God, church, faith, and we'll see what happens. There's always Q&A at the end, and I want us to be talking about the things that we affirm as spiritual people, right brain people, absolutely. Does anybody, Marisol.
While you're heading that way, I wanted to say this is something that obviously Ashley's been a big influence on me. And so dating a therapist, if you don't want to change, don't date a therapist. But yeah, I think, Aaron, along with what you're saying as well, we are a church of deconstruction through and through. Most of you are here because that deconstruction process has been really important. And we will always be a community that does some kind of deconstruction. But deconstruction's really easy. It's really, really easy to pull things apart. And it's really easy to kind of intellectually see what's happening and try and get underneath and pull, pull apart the structures that we have built up. Reconstruction is really, really difficult. It's a much harder task. And so being able to pick up the pieces, put those together, being able to embrace and understand what it means for us to embody Jesus Christ as the hope of the world and what that looks like and what that means for our lives. That's my hope as we move forward. It's not that we stop deconstruction, but that we can focus on reconstruction while we're having these same conversations.
Marisol.
Sorry to, hopefully I'm not digressing. I probably should have fit this in beforehand. But just in terms of where we're going, I, as a parent, but not just as a parent, hopefully other people want to be part of the conversation, is what do we hope and dream for the younger people in our church? And what do we want their church experience? So when we send them off to whatever it is after 17 years of being at home, what do we hope and dream for them to come out with and to go further into the world with? And hopefully some other people want to dream and brainstorm and think about what that might be as we move forward as a church as well.
Yeah.
And I know you've already started down that road. You've hired someone and that kind of thing. But I think it's not just one person's. Hopefully as a community, we can come alongside our younger people. So,
Does a parent want to respond to that?
It doesn't necessarily have to be a parent, because what I love about church is I want lots of people to be part of my kids' lives. I don't just want it to be people who are parents. Like, I think so different generations have so much to contribute, and I want them to have voices in my kids' lives too.
Does somebody want to respond to that?
Say, yep.
Yep.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be talking about it. And if you're thinking about it, what do we hope for? I mean, I have my own personal stuff, obviously, and as a community, but yeah, that's a great question, and one that we never stop answering that, because it's one that before you even have a kid or even think about the next generation in general, and passing on your wisdom or anything, those are things you think about, and then that comes along and you're like, oh well, I guess now I have to figure out a way to communicate that, and then you can communicate that and you're like, oh well, that's not really how I meant for you to take it. And actually, I kind of want to push you in this direction. So it's never, I mean, it's an ongoing thing. But as a community, I mean, just the things you've heard of hope, faith, life, love, grace, justice. What does it mean to love justice here? We use Micah 6:8 a lot, too. Like, what does it mean to walk humbly? What does it mean to love mercy? And what does it mean to do justice? And I think those right there are probably a central thing that I would answer. And what do we want to give to the next generation? Is what does it look like to walk humbly, love mercy, and do justice?
Two things. So one, I've seen in my husband and a lot of other people how they had to go through this very traumatic and painful kind of break from what they grew up in. And so I'm definitely thinking about how do we raise our daughter with something she can embrace for her whole life, hopefully. Secondly, we are planning to have a meeting specifically about the children's ministry and brainstorming and exactly what you're saying. We want to do that once everything down there gets a little comfy. We would definitely want to have a conversation with anyone who wants to talk about building our children's ministry.
Thank you, Deb. And thank you, Marisol. And thank you, everybody. Robust conversation as usual, but it doesn't end. So if you want to continue this conversation, you got questions for these guys, they're accessible. I'm accessible, guys and gals. But thanks for being here, everybody. And we really just love you. We love this community, and we're in this together. Thanks for being here. Go in peace.